This is the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show number 50. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com and email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Sampath in Australia. Coming up on the show, we explore into the theme of confidence. Ian Ponch shares another fast bowling tip with us, and as usual, we answer your questions for this week. Well, David, we had our first win on the weekend.
Oh, great news.
It was really tough because the rain actually poured down throughout the day. But we needed just 12 runs to win. If you'd remember, like, last week we were talking about outright and trying to get extra points for winning second innings. But all that went out the window on Saturday morning. It was raining heavily. And because our home ground is a synthetic pitch, we went to the ground and the other team thought we'd call it off. But our captain, and me especially, I was pushing our captain to tell him, just try and get a bit, like about 10, 15 minutes of play so we can get those 12 runs needed to get our first win of the season. So we basically had to wait the whole day. And whenever there was a break of about 15 minutes, me, the captain, and some other guys went up to the pitch to try and scrub all the water out so the ump would come and check to make sure that it was safe. And about four different stoppages of about half an hour, the ump wasn't satisfied with the pitch. And in about the last hour of play, where there would have been play, we got the necessary 15 minutes to play and we got the 12 runs. So, yeah, we're pretty happy. I put in more effort in those clearing the pitches than I have throughout my off-season.
So how long, what time did you finally win the match or finally get those runs?
We won it at about 5 o'clock and we usually ended about 5:45. So,
yeah,
we had to wait all that time in the rain.
But it's worth it to get those 12 runs to finish it off.
It felt beautiful.
So you looking forward to next week's game then, or start of the next match then?
Yeah, we're playing a team that has lost their first two games already, but we're going to lose some of our star players as well. Our top two batsmen can't play this week, and our main bowler can't play this week as well, so we're going to play a depleted squad against probably the team that's coming last at the moment. So it should be interesting.
So where do you get your spare players from?
We have reserves. So they either come from the bottom division or we have a few part-time players as well. So we call them up. But yeah, it should be good. It's just about gelling the team again together.
So will you get a bit more of a chance to bowl then, hopefully, if the star bowler's out?
Yeah. That's right. Well, I got a chance to open the bowling last game, but I didn't do that well. So this week, the captain's sort of been pushing me, telling me to sort of take a bit more responsibility. So I've been trying to keep my fitness up this week and practice a bit.
And how's your confidence, seeing as the theme of the show is confidence?
David, I didn't bowl too well. I got 3 wickets in the first game, but I didn't bowl too well that game. And in the second game, I bowled shocking. Like, it's those nightmares I'd been getting happening in real life. It was just, nothing was coming out right. My run-up was wrong. And I know the first step to you bowling wrong is losing confidence, David. And is that really right? Like, once you lose confidence, do you lose everything? Like, your technique, your rhythm, your sort of, if you're batting, how you see the ball, etc.? From your perspective, from your experience as a keeper and a batsman, when you lose confidence, you lose everything else?
I think what happens is that when you lose confidence, you lose faith in your technique and your ability, say, as a bowler, to get the ball down the other end in the right place. So then you start thinking about it. And as soon as you start thinking about it, right, what am I doing wrong here? Why am I getting this wrong? I'm doing something wrong. I'm not sure of myself anymore. Then you start making minor adjustments to, your technique. You start to think, okay, I bowled those last two down the leg. It's the classic, isn't it? You bowl two down the leg side, and so you overcompensate, and you bowl one wide outside the other.
And you try and adjust, yeah.
Exactly. So I wouldn't say there's a direct relationship, i.e. you lose confidence and then somehow magically you lose your technique. But you lose your confidence, so you start thinking about it, And when you start thinking about it, you're not trusting your technique anymore. You're starting to make adjustments to your technique. You start thinking about it too much, and it all starts to fall apart. It all starts to unravel. But of course, if you run up and bowl, yeah, and the first ball lands right on the spot, you think, oh, this is all right. It's coming out all right today. And then you don't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
You don't think, how can I make it even better? Mm. You just think, I'll just keep doing the same thing again and again and again, and you stop thinking about it, and then suddenly you're bowling really well. So, yeah, I think they are all linked together, definitely. It's all intertwined. It's not like the confidence is more important than your basic ability and your basic technique. It's just the two are very, very, so closely tied to each other that a breakdown in one can cause a breakdown in the other very, very quickly. I mean, you only have to look at somebody like Marcus Trist-Gothic on a extreme level to see that it doesn't matter how good your technique is, and it doesn't matter how talented a batsman you are or how talented a player you are. If you haven't got that confidence in yourself when you walk out onto the field, then you're not going to be able to do it as to the extreme that Trist-Gothic showed. But most people experience that feeling of not being sure of your own technique anymore and not being sure of your own talent anymore. And I think it's not that you can rule that out and you can eliminate that, because I don't think you can ever eliminate it. And to a certain extent, you want that because you want to be constantly improving as well. You don't want to be stuck exactly where you are. You want to be trying to improve and working on your technique and things like that. But it's how you deal with that loss of confidence, especially when you're out in the middle, how you handle that. And the better you can handle that, and the better you can put that those doubts out of your mind, the better a player you're going to be, without doubt.
Well, we have, again, Ian Pond, who's instilled a lot of confidence in the fast bowlers throughout the world. And he's also a Pitch Vision Academy coach. And he's here again with a fast bowling tip for us. So let's have a listen to what Ian has to say for us this week.
Hi, Ian. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, David.
Going to talk about a technical troubleshooting point today that we've discussed on the website previously. Imagine you have a young bowler who is having trouble and they're bowling too much down the leg side. How would you go about correcting that?
Well, I mean, it does depend on what's causing it, to be honest. It's a bit like saying, I've got a flooded bathroom, can you fix it? Well, you have to find out what the fault is to start with. And I think if someone's bowling down the leg side, there's a number of things it could possibly be. So what you do is you go back to the action and you look at a number of things. Firstly, are they actually lining up to bowl down the leg side? I mean, if someone runs up at an angle, and if they were to carry on, would follow the ball down to fine leg, then clearly they've got a problem with their angle of run-up. If they're landing their feet in a certain way where their hips are pointing down to the leg side and it's going there, that might be another issue. Is it the fact, and a lot of coaches say this actually mistakenly, this lad's falling away. I'm doing the air quotes while I'm saying it. And they're pushing it down the leg side. That's another issue. Do they bowl in swing and they just can't control it? Or are they an outswing bowler, but they try to get a little bit too greedy with the swing? So in other words, they start it off leg side and it doesn't swing as much as they hope, and it stays down leg side. There's a number of reasons. There's probably, half a dozen or more reasons why a bowler, or combinations of them, why a ball might go down the leg side. If they're consistently doing it, that's actually quite good news, because it means they're doing the same thing wrong, which means you can put it right. If they were randomly bowling both sides of the stumps, you've got a real problem, because if they're offside wides, leg side wides, then that's just random bowling. But if they're consistently down the leg side, you can then obviously change their lineup to make them consistently outside off stump. That can be done relatively straightforwardly. It might also be that they are not used to bowling to a right-hander or a left-hander, and then if there's a right-hander left-hand combination, it's to that batsman they always fire it down the leg side. So there are many reasons. It's a hard question to answer because I haven't got a definitive answer. But all I would say is go back to the action, have a look at the run-up, make sure all the lines are straight. If they all are straight, the alarm bell would then be ringing on wrist position, as in, are they pushing the ball down the leg side with their wrist? If everything else is straight and they're not falling, if they're pushing the ball down the leg side, then it's a wrist issue, which would be the final thing to look at, because it's the release of the ball. Once the ball's gone, of course, you can't affect the ball. But up to the point of release, is the wrist position in a good place? And if everything else is equal, there's no reason why they should bowl down the leg side. But if it's consistently down the leg side, in a strange way, that's quite good news.
Thank you, Ian, for your time. And if you want coaching from Ian Pond, you can access Pitch Vision Academy's How to Bowl Faster coaching course on www.pitchvision.com/academy. Welcome to the listeners' question section, and this week's theme is on improving confidence. David, you have a Pitch Vision Academy course on mental strength, so I hope you're ready for these questions.
Yeah, there's a whole chapter on improving confidence. So if you really are struggling with confidence, you don't know where to turn, what to do, then have a look at that course, because there's exercises and sheets you can work through and things, plans you can do to really improve your confidence. So have a look at that if you are feeling a bit low.
Yep. All right, David, our first question is from Chintan. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm having a problem with my bowling. I'm a left-arm slow-medium bowler at about second or third team level. I have a few issues with my bowling. When I bowl on the nets, I bowl fine, and it's okay. But when I get onto the pitch, I bowl double bounces and full toss rubbish. I've bowled at least 30 overs this year, and I've only bowled something like three overs have been any good.
Mm.
When I come on to bowl, my teammates seem to go quiet. It's like I'm on a trial, and I feel all tense and nervous. Sometimes my teammates are okay, and it helps a little, but I'm still nervous. In the past, I've been fine, so I don't understand how I have to go through this. And I don't think it's the yips, even though sometimes it feels like the batsman is a long way away. I'm going to work harder in the nets, even if I'm bowling well in the nets. I'm going to keep going and believe in myself, and instead of being more nervous, feel excited by the chance to impress. Have you got any ideas, David? David, just reading through this, I feel that he may be trying too hard. I can sort of relate with him as well, because one of my mates in our team, who's my keeper, every time I bowl like him, where I'm bowling full toss rubbish and like all these loopy bounces, he always comes up to me and tells me I'm trying too hard. That means I'm running in too hard. My action is kind of forced. I'm not sort of leading it to rhythm. So do you think that's the problem with him, David? Like, he's trying too hard, that's what's because of his loss of confidence?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, tension is one of those things that really can mess up a bowling action. If your shoulders are all tensed up, then you really can lose your action almost. And then it is like the yips in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I think you're right there. I mean, the key is to try to get to a point where you are as relaxed as possible and you're really trusting your action as much as possible.
Yeah.
And in my mind, there's two ways to do that. There's the sort of the mental side of it and there's the physical side of it, although the both are linked together. The physical side of it is going to the net on your own, so there's no batsman there or anything. Put a mark down on a length. And just start bowling and bowling and bowling until you can hit that length every time, or 8 times out of 10, or something like, you know, a high percentage of the time. And practice that as much as you can until you feel like you can hit that whenever you like, almost whenever you like. I mean, no one's going to do it perfectly every time. But if you've got that feeling of, right, I know I can do that now, no matter what, then it makes it a lot easier when you walk out to the middle that you know in the back of your mind that your action is sound enough for you to be able to hit the right spot 8 times out of 10 or 5 balls out of 6, you know, 5 balls in an over or whatever. Because at most, especially at the level that we're talking about here, second, third team standard, you don't have to bowl 6 fantastic balls an over.
Yeah.
You know, you could probably get away bowling 3 good balls and over and still get away with it most of the time, unless they're really rank, you know, like really rank long hops or whatever, because the batsman, the standard batsman is that much lower. So you can definitely get away with bowling less good quality, as long as you know that most of the time you're bowling a decent ball. So that's the first thing, practice in the nets. So but that's smart practice. That's not just going down the nets and with your mates and having a hit and hoping that it all comes together. You know, you have to do it with a little bit of thought and a little bit of planning. You don't need much. You don't need an elaborate, you know, multicolored spreadsheet or anything.
Yeah.
Just some balls and a net and some and keep practicing. And then the other thing is imagery. Being able to
Absolutely.
Imagine a successful outcome, and keeping that successful outcome in your mind, despite the fact that it's all falling apart around you, which sometimes it can do.
So it's a bit like picturing a ball, maybe before you bowl, picturing a ball where you want to pitch it, and maybe if you want to get him out LBW, maybe picture an in-swinging ball into his pads.
Definitely. That's a slightly advanced way of doing it. You probably don't want to start by doing that, but you probably want to end up being able to do that. What you want to start with is doing it away from the game. You know, sit down somewhere quiet and just imagine yourself bowling an over and imagine every ball landing in the right place and it turning and it beating the bat, or, you know, catching an edge and going to the wicketkeeper. And then as you gradually get better at imagining that, you bring it closer to the game. So then maybe you do it on the morning of the match, and then maybe you do it just before the game starts. You know how, like, sometimes you see the top internationals out on the wicket sitting down and imagining, you know, what's going to happen that day. You know, they're going through that. And then when you're really good at it, when you can really draw up that really good image straight away without any trouble at all, and you don't have any negative thoughts in your mind at all when you do that, because that's important, because it's very easy to turn sort of imagery into negative imagery by accident. You suddenly start thinking, oh, this isn't realistic. You know, I'm never going to bowl an over like that, or, you know, I'm never going to be able to bowl a ball that good. As soon as you start thinking like that, you kind of lost it. So you just need to do it again. But if you can do it really well away from the pitch, then start doing it on the pitch. Then so you stand at your mark, you imagine yourself bowling a ball on a good length, and then you just run in and bowl. Yeah. Clear your mind then and run in and bowl.
Yeah.
And then when you're running into bowl, you're not thinking about anything except putting the ball down the other end. You're not trying to think about your head or your arm or, you know, your technique or anything like that.
Our next question is from James David, and he says, I'm having a big confidence crisis. I recently dropped my first caught behind, and all my team had a go at me. It seemed fair enough at the time, but they kept on reminding me of it, so I can't stop thinking about dropping catches when I'm behind the stumps. And now it's gotten worse, because the bad comments are still being said to me. It's getting into my head. I've dropped more and more catches, and now I'm starting to believe I can't take caught behinds. David, as a keeper, you're in the best position to answer this. What do you reckon?
First thing I would say is tell your mates to shut up. Like, they're all perfect, of course. They've never played a bad shot. They've never bowled a bad ball. They've never dropped a catch or misfielded the ball. I don't think so. If they are that good, they shouldn't be playing, you know, at club level. They should be playing for their country. So there's different ways you can do that depending on the atmosphere of the team. You know, some teams, you know, you might have to do it a little bit more serious. You know, you might have to say, go to the captain and say, look, you know, you couldn't have a word privately with these people. That's the kind of serious way to do it.
Yeah.
Most teams, though, it's going to be more like banter than it is actually like a serious problem. I know, for example, in the teams that I played in, if I drop a catch, or, you know, maybe I miss the ball. I mean, you know, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. I make mistakes.
Yeah.
Someone will usually have a go at me about it. I might have been a bit sensitive to it in the past and sort of taken it to heart, and then lost a bit of confidence. But nowadays, I just do something stupid, like take the gloves off and walk over and give them to the person who's told me I'm rubbish, or reminded them of a mistake they made in another game, or, you know, just something to take the pressure off my own mind, and just treat it as a bit of banter and as almost as encouragement, as if to say, yeah, okay, I made that mistake that time, but the next time I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to, you know, pull off a brilliant leg side stumping or something like that, just to prove to that guy that, you know, it was just a one-off, and what I'm like. That was just a one-off. This is what I'm really like, you know, one-handed diving catch down the leg side, something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, treat it as banter. Think of it in your head as banter. Don't, because the more you think, oh, that person really thinks that, everyone's really thinking that, you get kind of this paranoid feeling that everyone's against you, and, you know, you have to be the perfect player, otherwise you're going to get abuse from your own teammates. Well, just tell them to shut up. And then you can back that up again with exactly the same as with Chinton and his bowling. You can back that up again with imagery, you know, sitting down and imagining taking that catch. But instead of, you know, when you drop it, instead of imagining yourself dropping it, imagining yourself taking that catch. So it's exactly the same situation, yeah. But at the end it goes in and it sticks.
Another point, David, our captain in our team, he's had a really strong policy in our team where all comments between teammates have to be positive, so no negative comments. Even if it's banter, it has to be directed towards the opposition and not towards our teammates, because he knows there's young players in our team, and if there's any banter towards them, they could take it the wrong way. So it could be a case of eliminating all negative things off the field as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you can talk to the captain about that and say, look, can we do this? Because, you know, it's really affecting my confidence. I'm worried I'm going to drop more catches. So that, you know, that is a good way to go. I think that's a really good policy, actually. I don't think it would work in I don't think it would work in my team particularly, purely because most of the players are a bit more senior, and the ones who aren't that senior, they know what the atmosphere is like. You know, we've got a regular group of players, so they know what the atmosphere is like, and it is supportive, and we back each other up, but we also take the mickey out of each other as well. But as long as everyone does that and everyone contributes to that, then it's not a negative thing. But you have to be very careful with that, because it only takes one person to misunderstand the atmosphere, and suddenly, you know, they've lost all confidence in themselves. And the other thing, of course, is practice more. Get someone to hit you more and more catches. It's very hard with a wicketkeeper, of course. You know, because how do you practice catching edges? That's a very that's a very difficult thing to do. But you just work on your technique. You know, get someone hitting tennis balls at you from as close as possible. That'll give you soft hands. It'll give you good reactions.
Yeah,
that's what I do. I always warm up before the game with someone hitting me some tennis balls. Just a tennis ball and a tennis racket, and just stand about 10 yards away, and they whack them at me, and I have to try and catch them. And that just gets the hands ready. So, you know, just a simple practice like that, it might be enough psychologically to give you the confidence to think, right, I've done that now. I know that works for me. If I don't do it, I feel less confident than if I do it. But the odds are it probably doesn't make any difference technically to me. It's just I feel more ready if I've done it. So maybe you just need a little trick like that. And the other thing is the last thing, which we talked about absolutely loads on this show, so I won't go through it all again, but you can go back through the archives to get that. But the stop technique, the way of putting the bad things out of your mind by using the stop technique, which we've talked about loads before, and it's on pitchvision.com. So look that up on pitchvision.com or listen to the archives of the show to get more information about that.
Perfect. All right, David, our last question for today is from Simon. And he says, I know you wanted questions on building up your own confidence, but I want to know how to drop the confidence of your opposition. What is the best way to do this? David, I don't want to say the word that many cricket boards have banned, but is sledging the best way? I mean, not straight out aggressive sledging, but subtle sledging, like reminding the batsman how much the ball is turning or how much it's swinging, etc., or putting thoughts into his head?
Well, yes, let's come to that in a second. I'd say the absolute best way to drop the confidence of the opposition is to bowl or bat much better than they're bowling or batting.
Yeah.
If you're a better team, they're going to realise that pretty quickly and their heads are going to drop down. So, well, most people are, especially club level. You know, you very rarely see a side who are being outclassed who can keep fighting all the way to the end. It's possible, but as a team, it's very, very hard to do. I mean, I've played in games where we've been thrashed, and even though you know you have to keep going right until the last run is scored or the last wicket is taken, you know deep down that it's all over, and you know you can't help but lose it then. So yeah, outclass the opposition, and you won't need to say a word to them. I think Michael Holding said he hardly ever said anything to batsmen. He didn't, because he didn't need to. He said he might give him the odd stare, but that would be all it, you know. Because when you can bowl at 90 miles an hour and you can bowl it up around someone's chin whenever you like, you don't need to say anything to him, really. So, you know, it's at whatever level you play. I mean, no bowler's going to bowl at 90 miles an hour at most people who are listening to this. But you know what I mean. You can outclass the opposition by just being a better team.
Yeah.
That said, there are other things you can do. If it's close, because you're not always going to be the best team, if it's close, Or maybe they're slightly better than you. Then, there are things you can do. Sledging is a bit of a not a great way to describe what I'm talking about here, because when you think of sledging, you think of sort of just swearing at the opposition and, you know, saying offensive things about their mothers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think, especially in club cricket, I don't think there's any, not only is there no place for it, but there's not really much point to it either, because I think most people, it's just like water off a duck's back, really. You don't, you know, if someone's effing and, certainly to me, if someone's sort of undirected effing and blinding at me, I just think, well, you're obviously swearing at me because you've got nothing interesting to say, because you feel like you're losing. I remember a game I played for our club's first team where we were getting absolutely thrashed. I mean, I was batting number 11 that day. We were getting thrashed.
Yeah.
And I'm a reasonable enough batsman, you know, I can certainly hold up an end for a while. And I had held up an end for a couple of overs against this half decent bowling, but they were obviously going to win. I mean, it was like, you know, there was like 10 overs left or something, you know, and we just weren't going to last. So I was batting away, playing defensively, all the rest of it, you know, because you've got to try and save the game at least. And and one of the fielders was swearing at me and, you know, really, really laying into me. And I just thought to myself, what is the point of you doing that?
Yeah.
Because you're probably going to get me out at some point in the next 10, 15 overs, whatever it was. So, you know, why worry about it? You know, it's much, much more impressive to not say anything than it is to sledge the number 11 when you're winning by miles. So what can you do? Well, I would say there's a certain, as you said, a way of doing it in a kind of more subtle way. So what you're trying to do is, rather than be offensive to the player, you're just trying to put that tiny little bit of doubt in their mind. And it can be anything. Yeah. And different people react in different ways. You know, some people, when they're batting, they want to stay focused. So if you just talk to them about, you know, the weather and, you know, just silly things that just puts them off slightly, then they just might be enough to put them off a little bit, and they make a mistake. They just relax that little bit too much, and then they make a mistake.
Yeah.
So sometimes just talking to a player can be enough. Oh, how's your season going? Yeah. Oh, are you batting well? How's the team doing? All right, all mid-table. That's interesting. Okay, all right. So you're hoping to do a little bit better today, are you? Oh, okay. Well, you know, fingers crossed it's not going to rain. And just, you know, just things like that, just in their mind. So then they just start thinking about other things. And then as you say, you know, you can sort of start saying loud enough so they can hear, oh, you know, it's really turning today, skipper. Let's put another short leg in. Or if they leave a ball that's well outside off stump, say, oh, that was a good leave, you know, especially with the ball swinging in like it is. Something like that. You know, just enough. Again, it probably isn't going to work, and it certainly isn't going to work to anyone who's in for any length of time. You know, it's no good saying things like that to someone who's 150 not out and smashing it all over the place. But just maybe when someone's early on in their innings and they're not really used to the pitch and the bounce and all the rest of it, then you've got a little window to just try and put a little bit of doubt in their mind.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd say. That'd be my tactic, and I'm one of those wicket keepers who does talk a lot and tries to get the batsman thinking, oh, shut up. I'm trying to bat. Shut up. But they can't. You can't say that. I don't know why you're not allowed to turn around and say the wicketkeeper shut up. even if it's just talking to your own teammate, you know, saying something to your own teammate at cover or slip, even if it's not about the batsman, just to have someone buzzing away in your ear all the time is really annoying.
Yeah. Don't forget that you can catch all the articles, updates, forums, and anything you hear about on the show on www.pitchvision.com. Stay tuned for our next show on the 16th of October, with the theme being all about the tactics and techniques of 2020 and limited overs cricket. And so if you have any questions or feedback to add to that, or in general, please email us at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's micricketcoach@pitchvision.com. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you next time. Signing off from Sydney, Australia, this is Kevin Sampath.
And this is David Hinchliff in the UK.
The My Cricket Coach Show is a copyright-protected production for Pitch Vision. For more information, please visit pitchvision.com.